letting go. And so, you know, there's lots of, you know, lots of different directions we can go with that particular topic. You know, learning to forgive people, learning to forgive yourself, you know, letting go. Lots of...
Okay. Brand new.
Oh, brand new, okay. But I want to talk about, just take this in a little bit different way. A friend of mine, Chip Judd, I heard him say just the other day that we need to be mindful of where our mind is, okay? As Christians, you know, really this... To me, this topic is really the topic of what now, you know, what do we do as Christians after we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? Then what happens, you know, or what should happen, right? And in essence, as we become a Christian, then there's a lot of letting go that needs to take place, right? So we need to be mindful of where our mind is, or we need to be mindful of where our of our mind and what we're minding on. That's just my little twist on that. You know, it's not good English, but it's, you know, it should stick a little bit. Mindful of where our mind is mindful on. Okay, so we need to know that there are some things that have been planted in us that God didn't plant. And you know, I hate that. You know, we don't like to think that, but there are things planted in us that God didn't plant, that if we don't let them go, we're going to reap a harvest on those things that we don't want to reap a harvest on. There's lots of Christians that I see today that carry around a lot of baggage. You know the old Scrooge, you know, movie, you know, and Jacob Marley, the ghost comes back and he's got all those chains on him and all, you know, he's just going through, he's dragging all those chains. And if we could see in the spirit realm, probably we'd see a lot of Christians that are on their way to heaven, right? But they need to realize that there are things that they need to be mindful of. And they need to let go some things that have been planted in them that are creating a lot of baggage. They're pulling a lot of back. So you see a lot of Christians that are tired. You know, they're worn out. They're anxious. They're sick. There's lots of different things going on, and they're not having the kind of life that Jesus Christ came to pay the price for through his death, burial, and resurrection to bring us to the Father. And that's part of the whole thing of letting go. Letting go of the things that keep us in bondage. Letting go of the things that slow us down. Check out Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 2. And I encourage you to read that whole chapter, because there are some like incredible things being said in that chapter. And in that chapter, as it goes on, it talks about that sons, we're the sons and daughters of God, right? And what that looks like, and how we can, you know, advance in that realm of being in relationship with the God of the universe and being able to call him Abba Father through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, my sins and your sins. So look at this, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and I think I have it in the New King James Version. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight, everybody say weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, we're going to go back to that in just a second. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So listen, here we go. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. They're rooting and tooting for us. They're singing the fight song, right? But we if we don't learn to lay aside or let go of things that are planted in us that God didn't plant, we're going to have be running with a weight, right? Well, we don't want to be running with we want to run, but we don't want to run with a weight. So there's so many Christians that are so worn out because they're dragging so much baggage. The weight, the weight slows us down, doesn't it? We don't want to run. We don't want to run a track race, even if it's a long race or a short race. It doesn't make any difference. We don't need any weights on us, weighing us down, slowing us down, tiring us out. How many of you have been tired as a Christian? How many of you are just tired? It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Christian or not. You're just tired. And so the weight slows us down, wears us out. And the sin, and I've read this scripture again and again and again, and I've always asked the Lord, what is the sin that so easily besets me? It doesn't say sins. So it's like a sin, the sin. The sin. What is the sin that so easily besets us? Well, if we're running the race with the weights, we're going to be susceptible to the sin of idolatry. And what is idolatry? It's making anybody or anything more important than God. It's going to anybody or anything other than God for peace and comfort and strength and joy and all the things that only God can truly give us. That's the sin. So we're going to look at this thing. We need to let go of the things that so easily beset us so that we don't fall into the sin that always comes about because we don't know how to comfort ourselves, and we reach out to be comforted in things other than God, and that will always cause us to be further away from God, not any closer to the God. Are you out there? Yeah. So here's the weight slows us down, wears us out, and makes us reach for comfort in the sin that so easily besets us. Get that? Yeah. It might be it's different to probably all of us. Uniquely different to all of us because we're uniquely created in this world as unique people who have a family of origin, a background, and so we don't all reach for the same thing, but we reach for something other than God to comfort us because pain always seeks to be comforted. Sick and tired, you're going to reach for something. So number two, let's look at this next scripture, and then we'll get to the very conclusion, and we'll talk about hopefully a couple things that I can help you with to be mindful of what your mind's minding on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, so they're not fleshly, they're not, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a habit structure of thought. It's a mental stronghold. It's a habit structure of thought, built one thought at a time. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's look at another scripture. Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I beg you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, the problem with a living sacrifice is when you come up here to sacrifice your living sacrifice at the altar, it always wants to get up and walk away. So it's that kind of an ongoing process, right? Sacrifice, the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so do not be conformed to this world. Okay, so we can't let the in the letting go we can't let the past dictate who we are into the future. We need to find out how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't be conformed to this world. or to the pattern of existence that you've had, or the wounds and the pain, or the life experiences you've been through. Don't be conformed to this world system, but be transformed, metamorphosis, you know, be born again, be transformed into the image of the kind of person that God's called you to be. And let me say this, I'm just going to give you a little hint. It's going to be worth a lot of money someday, maybe, I don't know. You, if you are a Christian, what is the transformation? The transformation is you are a son, you are a daughter of Father God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is now your father, just as he was and is Jesus' father. And you, your life as a Christian then is in relationship with the God of the universe, who reveals himself through Jesus Christ as Abba, Father, Daddy, God. And then our walk as a Christian is not some kind of rigid rules and regulations and shame-based, all kinds of things going on, but a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. A relationship of sonship, a relationship as a child of God. A relationship that then becomes so strong, it impacts and it affects what you say, do, and how you relate to one another. The Bible says, you know, if you've ever been to a Father's Love Conference, you know what I've said this before. How will the world know that what we have is real? By the love that we demonstrate to one another. So this is the Christian walk. I know it's been disguised maybe at times, but this is it. This is the Christian walk. Learning to let go, being mindful of what your mind is minding on. All right, so let's look at one more scripture, and then we'll finish this up. We can be a short sermon. Unless it goes longer. That's right. This, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. This is really good stuff. For this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. This is really, you can see a great picture of the way we're supposed to let go of that life and find the life that Christ has paid the ultimate price to bring to us as a Christian. This, I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that you no longer, everybody say no longer. No longer. In other words, let it go. No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. Well, how do they walk? In the futility of their minds. They got futile minds, not fertile minds, futile minds. And so do we, if we don't learn to walk as the Lord has called us to walk and let go of some of these things that are futile. How good is it for you to worry? What does it help? What does it hurt? And that's the truth. The futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. See, the light of God's love shines into the darkness of our understanding so that we can know who we are in Christ and know who we serve and know how to love one another. This is a good sermon. I'm not getting a lot of response, but this is still a good sermon. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You know how many Christians I know are alienated from the life of God? You say, well, how can that possibly be? If they're a Christian, they're not alienated from the life of God. If there's things planted in us that God didn't plant, they can really muck things up a lot. So they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Isn't that interesting? But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, let it go, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, the old man, put off the old man which grows corrupt after the deceitful, what a deceitful desire, deceitful desires. If I'm being deceitful, I'm not telling you the truth. You're listening to a lie. The deceitful desires of that lead us as Christians can be devastating. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or the very core of who we are, how we act and how we react in every situation. Be being renewed is the way the Greek brings it across. It's in a continual sense. This is the life. The life of a Christian is letting go. And I like that, letting go. Letting go. It really is pretty easy to let go. I mean, I just let that go. That was easy. Letting go. Be being renewed in the spirit of your mind, the inner core of who you are, how you act, and how you react. The spirit of your mind, the inner core of the thing that makes us tick, the things that makes us react and in ways that sometimes are not great Christian ways to react. The ways and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So now, here's what we need to think. We need to let go. What do we need to let go of? We need to let go of survival thinking. Let go of orphan thinking. Let go of deceitful thinking. Let go of our hurts and our wounds that have caused us to develop personalities that cause us to withdraw or attack when we should learn how to love from the greatest lover in the world, our Father God, and learn how to give that love away. It's a big deal. I mean, if I never preach another sermon for the rest of my life, this is the sermon that I would always preach. Because this, to me, is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations, doctrines and dogmas. And, you know, all of those things in and of themselves are okay. But Christianity is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. It's a relationship. How do you grow in that relationship? By learning how to let go of those things that aren't helping you and are hurting you and are, believe it or not, hurting others around you. And learning how to let God come into those areas with his love. Now, let's just talk about this whole survival thinking. We've got to get rid of survival. Let go survival thinking. Survival thinking, what is it? Fear, shame, control, and it's a stronghold, right? Now listen, you got... you need to be mindful of what your mind is minding on, okay? Probably in church, you've never been told to mind what your mind is minding on. You've probably never been, that's not been the emphasis of church many times. But we should make it an emphasis because there's a lot of squirrely things going on up there. And a lot of those squirrely things that are going on up there are not helping us as a human and as a Christian or the people around us. Survival thinking is so far away, worlds apart, universes apart from sonship thinking or son and daughter thinking. It's worlds apart. A survivor thinks fear, shame, control, fight. What happens? You know, big lion comes on your hunting trail, Jason. Well, like a cougar, yeah, because they're out there. and you know, so you know he's hunting you now, right? He's big, he's nasty, and so what are you going to do? So your body goes into a mode, and it's called that survival thing, and it goes into, okay, fight. I'm going to fight. You're going to lose. I'm going to run. You're going to lose at that too. Or freeze. That might be the best alternative. Unless you have a pistol with you. So this survival thinking can impact us throughout our life. Because we've not let go of the thought patterns that we are no longer survivors, but we're overcomers through Jesus Christ, and we're overcomers as we learn to receive his love and learn how to receive that love and give that love away. Learn what it means to walk in the spirit of sonship. Jesus said, don't pray to me any longer. Say, my Father, our Father. See, we've been trying to do this for a long time, but we've just not gotten it into our minds. Our Father. He says, our Father. My Father, your Father, our Father. Jesus brought us to the Father. He's paid the price for our sins so that we can have a right relationship with the God of the universe and be able to call him Father. So that fight, flight, or freeze syndrome can be established in our life, and we can be a Christian. We have accepted Christ, but we're living out our life more like a survivor than we are a son or daughter. So, and what's the symptoms of that? Fear, shame, control, and it's a stronghold of thinking. Let's try to come up with let's come up with some illustrations of that will help you, and then we're going to be close to being done. What would be a good illustration of that? How many of you like change? No, not money change. Like if it's enough change, it's okay. How many of you like change? How do we relate to change? Right? What's your mind? Okay, need to be mindful of what our mind is minding on. What are my reactions to change? Is it a negative reaction? Do I fight? Do I run? Or do I freeze? Give me another illustration. Are you in the wavelength there that I'm trying to get you into? I hope so. What would be another fight, flight, or freeze kind of mentality that causes a lot of weight as we're running the race and cause strongholds of thinking that can really impact the way we see ourselves, see God, and see others? Oh, that's just wrong. That's all that is. Right. Somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So we can tell, so part of this being mindful of what my mind is minding on is simply a, you know, being conformed to this world, but be transformed. How, what does that look like? So it looks like this. We have this relationship with God. He's our Father, Abba Father, Daddy God. And then we're supposed to have this relationship with one another, right? So how do these things kind of look? How do they wash out? It has to do with loving relationships. That's why community, church, it's important to have community. It's important to have other Christians around you who, and as we grow together, we begin to allow each other to speak into each other's lives, right? Do you have problems with authority? How do you react to authority? How do you react to somebody saying no? How do you, Rocco, how do you react to some? There you go. Understand this, mindful of what your mind is minding on. Understand this. Every one of us has to deal with fear, shame, and control. It is that primitive survival mentality that came from the fall of man himself, right? When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had perfect relationship, perfect fellowship with God, right? Then they fell into sin, or they didn't really fall, they just sinned. And so this picture of God looking for them in the cool of the day, and where are you guys? And they're going, well, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we were afraid, right? We were ashamed, we were afraid, and we hid ourselves. Living in this world, you're going to deal with all kinds of fear, shame, and who you're going to allow to have control of your life. We've learned to be in control ourselves. We think we're safe when we're in control. Yeah, I know it's funny now, isn't it? But back when we were 20, we thought we could do it. I'm only safe when I'm in control. We make decisions. The preacher preaches a sermon we don't necessarily like, we leave the church. Why is that? Well, I didn't like it. Well, who cares? Why don't you just cut one bad sermon? After 20 years, one bad sermon? Cut them some slack. It's only one in 20 years? That's pretty amazing. But we want to respond. So that's the mindful, okay? We're mindful of what our mind is minding on. These are some of the things that will show us, right? Show us maybe what we're full of. Show us that there are some things we need to let go so that we can let God be God in our life. So hopefully this helps you a little bit. God bless you. Wow, okay. People kept looking at their watches. I thought, hey, I better, there's a lot of pressure here.
I don't even have a watch on, and I'm the only person that matters. No, you don't get any prayer from this guy. I'm just teasing. Like giving up control is interesting. Do you have something else? It's only 11:20, 11:15. So So I let my youngest child ride his bicycle to Walmart a couple weeks ago on the bicycle trail. And
there's mandatory reporters in here, by the way.
He's 11, I don't know. And you know, I could see him on my app, and the other kid, he didn't go by himself, he went with a friend. But I told him it was a bad choice. I didn't think it was a good choice. It was gonna rain. He didn't have any money, so on and so forth. Some people that I know that are older than me got a little excited about it. I won't say any names. And I was like, you know what? God loves him more than I do. I know where he is. He didn't go without my permission. I told him it wasn't a good idea. But he probably would have gone even if I would have told him no, right? He might have snuck the next time. And I was like, you know what? God loves him more than me. God loves him more than me. God loves him more than me. I can't control this tiny human. God loves him more than me. So when we feel like we have to control everything in our lives, especially the people around us, God loves them more than we love them. God loves better than us. We can't do this without God. We gotta let go and fall more in love with Jesus every day. Dad, get up here. You had something to say. Did you lose the moment? Did I take it away from you?
So you could just do a little exercise here, or maybe mindfulness is a therapeutic practice that is very, very popular and very beneficial, really, actually, and that scriptural, really, that, you know, we're supposed to meditate on the word day and night, right? So mindfulness is basically just taking some time to get your mind on the right thing. And just focusing on nothing, okay? Now, we're going to do this exercise. If you do this exercise, you're going to find some things out. It's going to be interesting. So let's do a little exercise here. And so what we want to do is we just want to get both feet on the ground. And I'm not doing a bunch of witchcraft, hoodoo, doo-doo, voodoo stuff. It's you know, I learned this at Mayo Clinic, okay? It's just breathing. It's breathing and learning how to breathe. And you're going to find something out about your mind as you do this, okay? So I just want you to relax and put both feet down on the ground. If you want to, you can close your eyes. And I want you just to relax and just take a deep, take a breath in with your nose about the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4. Use your diaphragm. 5, and then hold that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, through your mouth, just let that out slowly. 1, 2, slowly. 3, 4, 5, 6. You want to get that all out. All right, let's do this again. Here we go. In with your nostrils. Count of 5, 1, use your diaphragm, 2, 3, 4, 5, hold. Now what's going to happen is you continue to do this, just continue to do this slowly, exhale with your mouth slowly, let it out slowly. Count of 5. As we continue to do this now, just there's going to be thoughts rolling through your brain. Continue to do the breathing. Raise your hand if you have some thoughts rolling through your brain.
I have to think about what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's actually good. Think about what you're doing. Focus on your breathing. How many are getting thoughts going, you know, just rolling through your brain? Okay? All right? And what are you doing with those thoughts? Okay, so you just, so just let them go. Right? Let them go, right? Don't start frothing at the mouth and rebuking the devil and just getting all tense. Worse, just let those thoughts go and come back to your place of worship, your place of breathing, place of just, what's the purpose of this? Bringing peace to your mind. It also helps you see how your mind can race on you. As you continue to do this or do it other times, there'll be, things enter your mind, fearful thoughts, thoughts about what you need to do, the 100 things you need to do down the road, the 10 things you need to do the next 5 minutes, but you can just let those things go. Learn how to, as a Christian, control your mind with the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And bring yourself into a place. See, the best place for a Christian to be is in peace. But we're rarely in peace because we don't know how to let things go. Okay.
I don't do this often enough, quite frankly, and that was really helpful. Thank you. Sometimes I just, if you breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Breathe out, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Breathe in, he leads me beside the still waters. Breathe out, he restores my soul. And that sometimes, just maybe a little bit of scripture that that you've memorized, something that brings you comfort and peace, just to that kind of breathing and just breathing out, it's just such a peaceful place to be, and it absolutely focuses our mind on God's word, on peace, on true comfort, on the truth of what God has for our life. And all day long, every day, we find ourselves in circumstances that can cause anxiety and fear. And that kind of exercise can really help. Thanks. Good reminder.
Yeah. I like to do, I breathe in, I go, as I'm breathing in, I'm just in my mind, I'm going, for the Lord is good. And I just hold that. And then as I let out that breath out of my mouth, and his mercy endures forever. Never. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. It's a good way to begin to learn how to be mindful of what our mind is minding on. And I could teach you some other things, but we don't have enough time. But Is this something, for some of you it's weird in church to do these kind of things, but in my mind, we need to do more action and less talking. We need to do more action and less talking. Yeah, because I want to teach people how to get there. How to stay there, how to be there, right? And this will help you to do that, I have other things that I could say, but you're young and I'm old and I need to go take a rest. Okay. So anyway, is there another song or something like that, or is this...